Can a blind person guide a blind person? Will not both fall into a pit? No disciple is superior to the teacher, but when fully trained, every disciple will be like his teacher. Why do you notice the splinter in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the wooden beam in your own? How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me remove that splinter in your eye," when you do not even notice the wooden beam in your own eye? You hypocrite, remove the wooden beam from your eye first, then you will see clearly to remove the splinter in your brother's eye. A good tree does not bear rotten fruit, nor does a rotten tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For people do not pick figs from thorn bushes, nor do they gather grapes from brambles. A good person out of the store of goodness in his heart produces good, but an evil person out of a store of evil produces evil. For from the fullness of the heart, the mouth speaks. The Gospel of the Lord. So the news has been filled with pictures, images, videos from the war that's going on in the Ukraine. We've seen already the early pictures of devastation. We've seen people injured walking away from the rubble. And of course, we've already heard about the hundreds of people that have already died. Then you have commentators. Some of them have political science degrees, others are diplomats, all trying to delve into this. What is the motivation? Why is this happening? Well, I don't have any of those decrees, but I think I can make an answer, and that is, it is sin. Primarily, it is the deadly sin of lust, a lust of power. Power to rule over more people, power that wants them to take more and more territory, power that thinks that they can enrich themselves. Truly, truly a sin. And with that sin, of course, people are suffering. People are dying, all because of the lust for power. And we know that this is a powerful sin, because it's one of the temptations the devil made of Jesus in the desert. Remember, he told them, he showed him all of the kingdoms of the earth and said, if you just bow down and worship me, you can rule over all of them. Well, you know, Jesus was human. He obviously did not bow to that temptation because he was also the Son of God. But he witnessed that very temptation. He, of course, knew of a king who would send his army to kill little boys just because King Herod was threatened that somebody else may take his power away. He, of course, experienced it firsthand when he, an innocent man, was arrested, convicted, and crucified. All because the chief priests and elders were afraid that he was going to take away power from them because the people were following him so closely. So Jesus is very, very aware of this sin. My dear friends, when we are faced with this, we feel powerless. Pope Francis at least asks us to do something that as Christians we believe is important, and that is to pray. He especially is pointing to this Wednesday, Ash Wednesday, asking us, the prayer and the fasting that we do that day to begin Lent be directed to praying for peace in the Ukraine, for comfort for those who are suffering the ravages of war, and of course, to pray for those who have already died because of this conflict. But what does that have to do with us? Well, we're all sinners. We all find ourselves turning our back on God. We all find ourselves falling and falling short of what we are called to be, sons and daughters of the living God. Maybe the only real difference is we don't have command of an army to impose our will and sin on others. But what is sin? Sin is a rejection of God. It is a turning our back on God's love. Sin wounds us. It hardens our hearts. It damages our souls. I've already been talking about one of the deadly sins. We also refer to as the mortal sins, because some of the sin that we commit is so grave, goes so much against our God, that it is a complete rejection of our God, and it's mortal because it puts us in danger. It puts us in danger at our personal judgment of rejecting God's gift of eternal life. That is mortal. That is deadly. But there's other sin, isn't there? We talk about venial sin. We talk about the lesser sins. Why is that something for us to be concerned about? Well, sometimes someone will come into the confession and confess that they told a little white lie to spare someone's feelings. Is that something to be concerned about? Probably not, unless it is a pattern. Unless it is something that one continues to do, because what you are doing is you are continuing to harden your heart. You are continuing to damage your soul. And if you continue to do it, you may be inclined, when faced with a much serious choice, of going down the path of darkness instead of the path of light. It puts you of continuing to harden your heart, such that maybe it puts you also in danger of when you are called in front of the Lord's judgment seat, your heart is so hardened that you couldn't even bear to look upon God's love, and you reject that gift of eternal life, just as if you had died in the state of mortal sin. This is serious, my dear friends. It is serious because it is about our immortal soul. It is about the fate of us all. Luckily for us, our Savior, the one who came to become one of us, is our just judge. And I say just because he has the ability to look inside of our hearts and see the true goodness despite the sin we have committed. He is our just judge because it was only him that was willing to give up his very life on the cross to offer us the gift of salvation, to reconcile us again with our God and throw open the gates of heaven. But because he was human, because he witnessed temptation, because he experienced temptation and witnessed sin, he knows we need help. And he offers that help through the graces that flow from his sacrifice on the cross, graces that are mediated by the sacraments of his church. But there's probably no greater sacrament that we experience that transforming grace, grace that can truly soften our hearts, grace that can truly repair the damage to our souls. There's no greater experience of that than in the sacrament of reconciliation. where we come willingly and lay our faults and failings at the Lord's feet with sorrow in our hearts, and he says, I forgive you. I absolve you. But in all good things, there is a catch. He is not dragging us to his mercy. He is not forcing his mercy upon us. We have to cooperate. We have to approach him and ask for his forgiveness. That tends to be the rub, doesn't it? Whether it's out of shame, whether it's out of fear, or what maybe it's even out of apathy, not even understanding how far down the path of darkness that we have trod. But whatever the case is, it does prevent us from experiencing that personal encounter with Jesus' mercy. It prevents us from receiving the gifts of grace that can transform us. My dear friends, we call this journey a journey of conversion of heart, turning our hearts back to God. And it is a lifelong journey. In fact, in the book of Psalms, one of the Psalms goes and says something to the effect that God adds years to a man's life so that he may grow in righteousness. I visited a man in a nursing home once who understood that psalm and told me, Father, I'm 95 years old. I must have had to have a lot of work done in my life to be righteous. But it is a lifelong journey. And it's a journey that we should be engaged in, that we should be working on, and not think that we've got tomorrow to do it. Because there is not one person in this church that knows when our life will be over. There's not one person in this church that knows how many tomorrows you have. It's why Saint Benedict, as part of his rule, urges his monks to keep death always in front of you day by day, reminding them, don't wait till tomorrow what you should be doing today and working on the great work of turning your heart back to God. This is such important work. The church gives us a whole season of the church's liturgical year to intensely work on conversion of heart, on seeking out God's mercy, on receiving the transforming grace that flows from Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. We begin that season this coming Wednesday with Ash Wednesday. May this be a season where we take seriously the Lord asking us, come to me, all you who burdened, and I will refresh you. The burdens that we carry is the sin we've commit. The refreshment that he gives us is the gift of forgiveness and mercy. Let us make that our number one goal this season of Lent, that we seek out his mercy, that we work to remove from our lives the things that are causing us to sin, so that when Easter comes, we may rejoice. The Lord has been raised from the dead so as to offer us all the gift of eternal life.